Thank you, Brother Joe. Joe and Charlotte are, without doubt, two of our very best friends in the world. Thank you. There's nothing wrong with sitting down and preaching. Who said by? My. And if you're wondering how old I am, keep on guessing. Recently, I have went to a certain Dr. Setzler, who is a holistic physician in the city of Tyler, and on a regular visit. And he had been perusing my medical records. And I'll just go ahead here. I'll tell you what. There's some of these budding preachers like Brother Mark and some others here that's going to learn how to last a long time. Sit down and preach the gospel. And anyway, Dr. Setzler had been looking over my medical records, and he said, Reverend Sluder, you have the body of a 27-year-old man. And I said, well, thanks. I'm glad to know that. And you know what I did? I came home and told Anna about it. And after she fainted and got up, she said, whoo! She said, that's wonderful. So, now you know, don't you? Praise God. This morning, I thought of a funny story that I heard a TV preacher tell, but I'm not going to tell it. I never have. I've been preaching 71 years, and that's not bad for a 27-year-old. I have, at first in my ministry, I would see a successful preacher, and I thought, well, I can do that. And I'd fall flat on my face. And I finally learned to be me. God called me to preach. And so I wanted something funny to tell. I'm trying to write a book and have a minister like Joel Osteen. He always tells a funny story. But here's the thing that I want to share with you this morning. It's cold outside, and I thought of this while we were coming to church. I was pastoring a little church in the state where Brother Joe mentioned where I was. Yeah, really, I was once young enough to be a district youth pastor for the whole state. And we had an apartment and with no heat but a wood stove. And I got this habit of keeping my pajamas on until I was ready to dress for church. And this particular morning, I decided to go ahead and put the regular trousers that I was going to wear to church over my pajamas till the house got warm, and I meant to take the pajamas off. But I forgot that. And I have a better memory now than I ever had when I was in my 20s or 30s. So I wouldn't do that again. But right in the middle of a red-hot, God-sent, Holy Ghost, Bible-based sermon, I was preaching away, and I looked down, and about 6 or 8 inches of my right leg of my pajamas was hanging out of my pant leg. And there was no way I could hide it, but I just kind of calmed down and moved back behind the pulpit. I took all the greetings from a standing position behind the pulpit and let the congregation go home after the service. Well, this morning, before I give you my subject, I want to share with you an item here that God gave to me here back in 2004. I was sitting in the church one Sunday morning, and I noticed, and I wasn't pastoring, we were just attending church there, and the Lord spoke into my heart an admonition on praise and worship, and please take note of this, and I'm going to give Brother Joe, and I'm so honored here, preaching where Brother Philip, Brother Mark, and Brother Joe, and so many other capable men have preached, and I appreciate the privilege I have this morning, and you just pray that God will make me a blessing, okay? That's what we want to be. But the Lord gave me this, and pay attention to it. It will be in Brother Joe's office, and if you want a copy, they'll give it to you. And the title is Praise and Worship. And if you refuse to praise the Lord with an audible voice, you are refusing him a dwelling place in your life, because he is inhabits, that's where he lives, in other words, he inhabits the praises of his people as set forth in the 22nd Psalm and the 3rd verse. That's where he lives. And if you don't praise him with an audible voice, you are denying him a place to live. And if you remain silent, there is a possibility that the inanimate objects like rocks and such will cry out and praise him because you kept your mouth shut. Luke 14 and 40. You see, God will move away. Listen to this. He will move away from a person or a place that is void of verbal praise and thanksgiving. He will then seek a person or a place where he can hear the praises to him. For John 4 and 23 says that he seeks such to worship him. He'll go looking, neighbor. If you don't praise him, don't expect him to hang around. Brother Joe, I'll give you one of those, and if it'll bless anybody. I want to talk to you up on a subject this morning about peace. Specifically, the peace of God. I was blessed, by the way, last evening. We were blessed at our house, Brother Dale and Brother Mark, and they brought along little Margaret with them. They came. We had such a wonderful time of fellowship. We just enjoyed it so much, guys. I want to talk to you about, specifically, about the peace of God. While we're here this morning enjoying the goodness of God, His blessings, and I was listening this morning to a certain Dr. David Jeremiah, and on the television, and he made a statement that just touched my heart. I'll share that with you. That if you have a little money in your on your person, in your wallet or your pocket, and if you live in a warm house, have transportation, and if you have any kind of a bank account, Brother Joel, the statistics tell us that if that's your situation, if you have just a little pocket money, a warm place to live, and a bank account, that you are in the upper 8% of all the whole world. Think about that. Now, talk about Brother Philip. You hang in there on your missionary work. I'm a home missionary. Every day when I go out, I look for somebody to minister to. And you know what? I find them. The Lord has helped me to just develop a few phrases. I can get the attention of the most poker-faced, two-legged homo sapien that ever walked the streets of Tyler. Amen. I'll get their attention. Maybe they are looking so sad and down in the mouth, and they're holding a little grandbaby or their own child. And I'll just say, boy, you hang out with some of the good-looking people there and point to the grandbaby. That'll bring them to life. Get their attention. And then carry with you some kind of a contact piece and wind up with a God bless you. God bless you today. And I stop and pray with them. I'd just as soon pray in Walmart or Penny's or Dillard's. I'd just as soon pray there as anywhere. And I have never been rebuked or rebuffed for praying with somebody in a public place. Neighbor, this world needs Jesus. And while we're here enjoying the blessings of God, look what's happening in Korea, Iraq. Look at England, Ireland, Germany. Is the world at peace? Uh-uh. But this morning, I'm going to show you the source of the greatest gift in all the world, and that's the peace of God. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. Now that word careful means full of care. It's very simple. You don't have to be a college professor. In fact, you're better off not to be. Because some of the intellectuals of our day are the greatest enemies of the human race. I'm not putting education down. But what I am putting down and what I am against is an intellectual idiot that denies the validity of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now. And I don't have any time for them. But be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. That's the way to do it. You don't have to carry a load. Jesus lives on the inside of you, neighbor. You don't have to be upset and anxious. Listen to this. And the peace of God. We're still now in the fourth chapter of Philippians, and this is chapter number verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You know, it just rises so far above intellectuality. It goes above understanding. You don't have to understand it. You can enjoy it. Now, I know there's a common illustration here that I'm supposed to give. I'm supposed to tell you at this time that it's a great mystery how that a black cow can give white milk that churns into yellow butter and white cottage cheese. But you don't turn down the product just because you don't understand it. You see, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts. We're living in a time, neighbor, when men's hearts are failing them for fear of looking after the things that are coming to pass upon this earth, and you are not immune from it. Before I get through here this morning, it is my intent and purpose by the anointing and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is my intention to tell you how you can have the whole package of the peace of God in your heart. It passes all understanding, and it will keep your hearts and your mind. Your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Go with me to John, the 14th chapter. And I want to dwell on this for just a few moments. Let, L-E-T, let not your heart be troubled. Let me stop there. Because that can shoot right over your head and you'll miss the point. You, with a worried look on your face and a grumbling groan down in your heart, you can look at Brother Joel, Pastor Philip, or any other preacher and say, you just don't understand. I can't help this. I just worry about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. If you was in the shape I am, you'd understand, because I can't help but worry. That's not true. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. God's word tells me that I have the ability to refuse to let my heart be troubled. I'm not going to do it. I woke up. This is the only time that I've done this in years. But I woke up 3 o'clock one morning, and a bump in the road. Everybody has a bump in the road. But let me tell you something. God's word says that Jesus was in all points tempted like as you and you and you and you, that we all are. He was in all points tempted like as we are, but yet without sin. So he got there before you did. He met that problem before you did. You are not alone. And you can cry and whine about your circumstances all you want to, but you're not going to get God's sympathy. Take control and place yourself in the hands of the nail-scarred hands and listen to what God's word says, and don't let it happen to your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, he said. Believe also in me. Now, let's look here at another verse, verse 27 of this same chapter. Listen carefully. Peace, we're going to evolve here into a definition of the phrase, the peace of God. I'm not talking about getting a few people together and settling a matter and calling that peace. That's not what I'm talking about. Listen carefully, and I'll tell you what the peace of God is. Peace, Jesus said. These words, now you may have noticed that I don't have a Bible here with me. Well, I do too. I've got a Bible that I reprinted in great big type, so I wouldn't be at disadvantage and you'd think I was old. So just hang in there. Jesus said, and it would be read in your Bible, peace I leave with you. Now he's about ready to go back to the Father. And he said, peace I leave with you. And then I wondered why in this world he had to say it another way, seemingly. Peace I leave with you. Then he said, my peace I give to you. Now listen to this. The peace of God is everywhere. The peace of God is omnipresent because God is omnipresent. We're gonna dig a little deeper into that in a moment. The peace of God is omnipresent. It fills the world. But he went on to say, my peace I leave with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, when he came to this earth, he came as an illustration of great is the mystery of godliness because he was all man. He was every bit man. He lived in a body just like you and I have. I have a preacher friend, great guy. Highly intelligent. Right this morning, he's at the point of death in a hospital in Dallas with the same age. And he and I were ordained together in the Assemblies of God. And he said to me one time, he's educated. I tell him he's the only friend I've got that I have to keep a dictionary handy when I'm conversing with him. But he said to me one time, he said, there's one thing that Jesus did not atone for. One problem in the human race. I said, called him by name, I said, you got to be crazy. And he named it, which was a moral character flaw. And I said, called him again by name. And we're just like brothers. We talk to each other this way. I said, you're crazy. His body was just like our body. And if you let the devil get a wedge, now this became later on kind of a little problem to him. But don't do it. I'm going to show you how you can possess the peace of God that passes all understanding and live a life of tranquility and usefulness in the kingdom of God. So let's go. He said, my peace I give unto you. You see, the reason why he could give his peace away, he had to have the peace of God when he was in this human body. But he said, my peace, my personal piece of this pie, I'm going to give it to you guys because I'm not going to need it anymore. I'm going back to the Father. Amen. He was going back to be what he'd always been, God. Are you listening to me? Amen. And he did not need the peace that he was given when he took on flesh. In the first chapter of the book of St. John, and I can't, if I start on this, I'll preach two sermons and I'm not going to do it. Anna's sitting over there and I'll have to face it when I get home. First chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on in that chapter, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And when Jesus, he said some words that made a whole bunch of people walk off. You know, Brother Joe, when the Word of God really gets down to the where the rubber meets the road, sometimes some folks check out and go home. They can't handle it. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part with me. And that offended some people. But you know what he was talking about? Let me tell you what he was talking about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the Bible that you've got in your lap or at your home right now, that Bible is not just a book. Come on. That Bible is not just, if you look upon that as a book, neighbor, you got a big surprise coming. Because I'm telling you that Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And that Bible talks to me. Oh, yes, it talks to me. And what he's saying here, unless you consume, ingest, and digest the Word of the living God, you don't have any life in you. See, you don't have any, it's His Word. Neighbor, it's His Word that keeps the man that lives in the body that we see here this morning. It's the Word of God that is the sustaining nourishment that keeps you alive on the inside, and you better devour it on a daily and regular basis or you're not going to live. Okay. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to have to move on here. But my time is getting away from me. I want to give you a definition of the peace of God. I got up when the Lord woke me up, and I had a little problem that was keeping me awake, and I don't like that. And I went into my office, and God gave me this scripture, and it settled me down, and I haven't worried since then. There is a Greek word. It's 1515 in your Strong's. You can go look it up for yourself. It's E-L-R-E-N-E. I knew a little Greek one time. He owned a restaurant right down the street. But I do know how to read. Praise God. Did you hear me? I know how to read. And I know how to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here we go. This word means this peace of God. It's a phrase. It takes more than one English word to tell us about it here. Okay? Peace, it means peace rest, in contrast with strife. And it denotes the absence. Listen to that. The very absence or end of strife. If you got strife, there's something better for you, folks. Listen to me. There's the peace of God here. If you got strife, if you're striving about anything, this word denotes a state of, oh, I love this, a state of undisturbed, untroubled well-being. Thank God, because we can have an undisturbed, untroubled sense of well-being. You are a son or a daughter of God. We are kings and priests unto God. Wake up to who you are, and then you might understand a little bit of what you got. Did you hear me? And if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and God gave Abraham the whole shebang. He said, if you can walk on it, you can have it. We are Abraham's seed, neighbor, if we're born again and claim the whole business. Somebody said, but that's in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. And the very New Testament itself has already told you, I'm not going to call you a dummy. Don't expect that this morning. But the New Testament tells you that the Old Testament was written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world should come. It's for us. Listen now. When this word, when the peace of God is contrasted with strife, it may mean a state of peace which is brought about by God's mercy and His granting deliverance and freedom from the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin, as a result of sin. It is called here's what I like. And if you've got a notepad or anything, write this down. You got to get this. It is called the peace of God. Listen now. It is not that God needs it. God does not need it. He's peace personified. But He has it only for one purpose, and that is to give to you and me. Think about that. God is loaded up with peace that's never been claimed. And every time He gives it away, He's got more than He had before. Amen. Looking forward to the coming generation. It can be the resort only of the accomplished reconciliation that is effected by the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, that's my introduction. Let me get into the sermon. How do we acquire this peace? How do we acquire this peace? The first thing that you have to do is to hear what God says. Are you listening? The first thing you've got to do is to hear what God says. Now, it is not enough to hear with one of those hearing devices that's hanging on the side of your head. That's not the kind of hearing He's talking about. He's talking about hearing with your spirit, hearing with your heart. He's talking about the spirit man hearing it, not just the physical. Well, there's people that have sat on church benches for the most part of their life occasionally, and they'll get before God, and He'll say, I don't know you. Wouldn't that be an awful disappointment? But hear what God is saying. Let me just give you an illustration of that. In First Samuel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. Isn't it wonderful that God will come back if we don't understand the first time? Isn't that wonderful? He came to Samuel the third time, and Samuel arose and went to Eli. He went to the priest, went to the preacher, and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." His mama, you know about Samuel. His mother hadn't had a child. She prayed, and God gave her Samuel, and she took him and let the preacher train him up because she wanted him to be what God wanted him to be. And God had plans for Samuel. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Okay? And therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "You go and lay down, and it shall be that if he calls thee, thou shalt say," and here's what you and I need to get a handle on. Come on now. "This is for you and for me, upon whom the ends of the world should come." And this is what we're supposed to say. You're saying now, Brother Stuhler, you mean that I'm going to pray and ask God to tell me something and he's going to speak audibly? No, he's already spoken. Are you with me? Did you get that? He's already spoken. And you've got it written down in a book called the Bible. And it's talking to you. It's talking to you. That's why, you know, Pastor Philip could preach, Brother Joel could preach, Brother Mark could preach, and so-and-so could preach, and all. But there's no substitute for one more step in your relationship to God. And that is study. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a man that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you study. So he said, when he speaks this time, say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." When I'm reading God's word, when I'm studying God's word, it is talking to me. I had one of the darkest valleys of my lifetime a few years back. And right after I had been given a mandate by a doctor that I didn't want to hear, I was in my study in the 138th Psalm, and I got down to the very last verse, and it jumped out of me like a jack-in-the-box. The first part of verse 8 of Psalms 138, I'll quote it, I'll remember it the rest of my life because it's still in force. And it said this to me, Nolan Sluder. It said, "I, the Lord God, will perfect that which concerns you." And boy, I grabbed that. And I just wrote it down in big black bold type off of my computer and stuck it everywhere where I wouldn't forget it. I've got it memorized. I quote it often, and it's still good, you see. It doesn't go away. The Lord God will perfect that which concerns me. You say, "My, that's a great discovery." Well, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to speak it. I still speak it. Praise God, I still speak it. Now then, let's look further here. Let's look at verse number 10. Let's look at verse number 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called." You see, Jesus will come back. He'll come and speak again. Praise God. "As at other times," and he said, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth. Praise God. Now, when Samuel said that, you know what happened? And I'm going to tell you how to get exactly the same results. Right now, we're just going into my sermon. But I'll make it brief. I won't be this long. I promise you that. No, I won't either. I'm not going to stay here so long that you'll fall out of the window like one guy I read about in the Bible because of a long-winded preacher. And if you're against long-winded preachers, don't be, because that long-winded preacher wrote 13 books in the New Testament. So he was no dummy. But speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And when Samuel said that, Brother Joel, it started Samuel on a lifetime of devoted, consecrated service, living close to God and blessing a whole generation. Praise God forever. So you listen to God. You listen to what he says. You hear him when he speaks. Right out of his word. Now, don't think somebody's laying hands on you and prophesying over you. Be careful about that. I'm not saying now that anything against prophecy, but what I am saying is everything you hear is subject to thus saith the Lord. Praise God. Go to the book. Go to the book and look it up. I've been in some tight places, and I don't have time to preach my whole life. I've lived too long to tell you all about it here this morning. But the next thing you want to do after hearing God speak, believe everything he says. Amen. Take the whole package. Believe everything. Listen to this. In Matthew 9, chapter 9, beginning at verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, and they cried, and they were saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I'm able to do this to open your eyes? Do you believe I'm able to do it? You know, there's a whole lot of lazy believers. If we're not careful, we'll get into a mode that we want somebody else to do our praying and have our faith, and we just want them to lay hands on us and get what we got and run. That's not what Jesus... You notice, as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are red letters. Most all the time, before he healed, he would say, or after he prayed for them, he'd say, according to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith be it unto you. Folks, we've got to get involved in this fight, okay? And when he was come in the house, he said, Now, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, Yes, Lord. Praise God. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. So don't think that you can cop out of having faith. And you say, Well, preacher, how do I get faith? There's only one way. It is not by an illustration. It is not by somebody's testimony necessarily. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing comes by the word of God. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that you don't tell anybody about this. But that chance... They, when they were departed, they spread abroad. Jesus had a sense of humor. He did. anybody that tell a couple of guys that's got their sight for the first time in their life and then say, now, don't go tell anybody about it. I think that's cute. But they, when they were departed, they went and spread abroad. And what happened? The fame of Jesus went throughout the whole country. Now then, number three, and I got to hurry along, and I am going to do that. Now then, when you hear the word, and when you believe the word, then the next thing you want to do, you want to speak the word. Now, you can't speak something you don't know. See, this thing's stacking up on you. I've got two son-in-laws, and they're both neat guys. I've told people that one's smart and the other one's smarter, but I'm not going to tell you which one is which. I think I've got one of them here this morning sitting right over here, and he is no dummy, I'll tell you. But one of my son-in-laws, I was going over these things with him, what it took to get the peace of God. And he just popped up and said, well, you know that when you get to that last part, and it's coming up here, said when you did the first three, that last part comes easy. So we're getting into some easy territory. Just be patient here. So frequently, verily, this is in Matthew 11, 23 and 24. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, thou shalt not doubt in your heart, but shall believe these sayings which he saith, shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Did you know that? Boy, you got quiet. I shot that one over your head. I said you can have what you say. No, you didn't get it. Do you know that often, I'll say, if the devil tries to take a shot and make me miserable or something kind of not going right, I'll say, hey, devil, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Amen. Folks, the devil is a loser. He is a loser. And speak the word of God. There's solid Bible truth that when he hears the word of God, he gives up. That's what Jesus used on the Mount of Temptation. All in the world Jesus did was quote some scripture. Learn to speak the word of God. Therefore, I say unto you that whatsoever things that you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now then, number four. I told you there was a bombshell coming here. Do what God says. Perform what God says. Practice what God says. James said it like this. In the first chapter of James, verses 22 and 20 to 25. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Yeah. Now, if you think that you can just hear the word here, and go home and eat dinner and go to bed and take a nap, and that's all that the ministry of the word is for, you got another thing coming. It is your responsibility to do God's word. Neighbor, let me tell you something. And I'm looking straight at you. Unapologetically. To him that knoweth to do good, and he doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, there's some things that we understand. I'll make it plain. If you've ever heard a sermon out of God's word on tithing, and you're not tithing, oh, you've got a problem, neighbor. I do financial seminars. I can tell anybody how to gain wealth so you can be a generous giver. All you got to do is listen and do what I tell you to do. But I'll tell you up front, and I've told congregations two or three times this big at financial seminars these very words. If you're not tithing, I can't help you. See, I can't do something, brothers, that God couldn't do. So I can't bless something that God has cursed. Now, that's just one. If you know that you're supposed to live a good, clean, moral life and don't do it, that's sin. Oh, God will forgive you, but you've got to get it cleaned up, and then he'll ask you to do the same thing he did the woman at 12, go your way and sin no more. You see, that's what he'll require. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, for if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like somebody who goes and looks in the mirror and thinks he's a sharp-looking dude, and he goes out his way and he looks like homemade sin. Don't tell me God doesn't have some humor. Yes, sir. He beholds himself in a glass, and then he goes his way, and straightway he forgets what kind of looking man he was. All right. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he's the one that God's going to bless. Now then, let's just have a little look here at Proverbs, at Psalms 31, verse 23 and 24, and then we're going to look to the Lord, and we're going to pray that God will protect this seed that's been sown this morning. Because you know what will happen? The devil will come and take it right out of your heart, you looking at him, if we don't. Okay, love the Lord, all you saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Thank God. And he plentifully rewards the proud doers. Did you know that was in the Bible? The Lord plentifully rewards proud doers, not cop-outers. I said not cop-outers. If you're going to cop out, you just walk down a lonely road, brother, and those guardian angels that went before you and after you, that they probably got discouraged and went back where they come from, look for somebody else to look after. Because the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. Amen. 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 But be of good courage, and he shall straighten your heart, strengthen your heart, and all you that hope in the Lord. Now, I want you to and I've got more notes, but I don't have time. I want you to go with me into a time of reflection here. I challenge you this morning to receive the peace which is God's reward for your faithfulness. If you'll do these four things, if you will listen and hear the Word of God, if you will believe the Word of God, if you will speak the Word of God and then be a doer of the Word of God, you got a reward coming, neighbor. You have a reward coming. Then you can receive the peace, which is God's reward for your faith, your submission, and your obedience. Praise God forever. And I want to know this morning. I want every person in this audience that either this morning or recently you have felt the sting of strife and trouble. There's been something recently that you seem to have a problem of getting peace about it. Would you please stand? I want to pray for you this morning. Just anybody that struggled in the least with a problem that you had a time of getting peace over it. Oh, look at that, folks. That's so heart touching. That's so heart touching. Help me, Brother Joel. Would you please come and stand right here and help me? I want you to see. Oh, God, this morning, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask this morning that you give these precious, honest-hearted believers this morning, Lord, give them a hearing ear. Lord, help them in their heart of hearts. When they look into the Word of God, I pray, Lord, that they will understand that it's talking to them. It is speaking to them. And Lord, I pray that you'll help them to embrace what you say. David said, I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God, that's what we want to do this morning. Give us a heart to hear what you say. Then, Lord, I pray that you'll give us the faith to believe what you say. You'll never speak anything to us, Lord, that you can't perform. No promise in the book that is not doable in the hands of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible with God, and nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth. Then, Lord, God, help us to clean up our speech. Help us, Lord, to put away foolishness from our lips and to speak the Word of God, be it in private or in public domain. Help us never to be ashamed to speak the Word of God. And, oh God, give us the grace, the strength, the backbone, oh God, and the intestinal fortitude to be a doer of your word, O God. Help us, Lord, to do the word of God. And we know when we do that, Lord, that you will reward us. You will reward us with a life of peace that passes all understanding. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated.